Before we get started, we're sharing an ad from one of our favorite collective shows, Mythstory.
Hey, Cammy.
Hey, Bryant.
What do Robin Hood, Vlad the Impaler, and Mothman have in common?
IDK, what?
Well, they're all topics on our podcast, Mythstory, where each week we discuss a new myth and the history behind it. That's Myth Story with an IE. See you then.
Once again for tuning into the Psychedelic Podcast. I'm your host, Tina Marie, here with your favorite panel of non-experts. Today, we include Dawn and Rob in our discussion. We released an episode on Wednesday with an anonymous guest interviewed by Dawn that was extremely enlightening. I'm sure not all of us may be open to discussing if we've experienced sleep paralysis, lucid dreams, or astral projection. Even though the CIA has made a plethora of very interesting information and once unavailable to the public domain, public at last. How's everybody doing today?
I'm doing great, Tina. I got to spend the day by the side of the pool watching my children play and relaxing in the sun, and I couldn't ask for anything better.
That's awesome. How about you, Rob?
I'm a little bit itchy because I was cutting some trees today. And I got sliced up by some vines.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. The allergens of outside make me itchy.
I kind of want to start this in a fun way. We all took this test on astraltest.com. So I'm really curious to know what everybody got as their answers. We can start with Dawn.
My test results were 31% astral projection, 48% out-of-body experience, and 30% lucid dreams. And to kind of explain a little bit, the test results said that I wasn't super connected to my body in that way, and so I was in a good position for healing and out-of-body experiences and things like that, and that I had, based on my answers, astral projected before, and that I could do it again if I so chose.
My percentages were 40% for astral projection, 36% for out-of-body experiences, and 54% for lucid dreams. And I found that most of my answers were from childhood. And I mentioned being in a huge dark room that engulfed me in the Mandela Effect episode. And doing more research and hearing the bit about sleep paralysis from the interview you did, Dawn, it kind of enlightened me a little bit to what was happening to me there. But I did notice that when I'm healthier, I'm more spiritually healthier, I'm eating healthier and things like that. When I used to meditate, these things would happen a lot more frequently.
Mine are a little weird. 47% astral projection, 42% out of body experience, 100% lucid dreams. The answer that they gave when I filled out the end part said it may have been long ago, but your parameters are quite enough to repeat the experience. You are not sufficiently linked to the physical world. This enables you great possibilities to utilize the methodologies of healing, bioenergetics, clairvoyance, etc. And I thought it was really interesting because I know and have known for a while that, yes, I lucid dream almost every night. Rob can probably attest to that. I get pretty annoying talking about what I dreamed about, so he's probably tired of it by now, but I do wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. My body just wants to wake me out of a sleep to tell me, hey, remember this dream so you can say something to someone in the morning, and then I can go back into the dream, the same one. I'm kind of halfway there when I'm in that state, so I thought it was cool that it did say 100% lucid dreaming.
When you say those things, it makes sense now, and it's not annoying. It's more so like I was a blank slate for that slumber, so I have nothing interesting to counter with that.
Some of the questions, Dawn, did any resonate with you more than others?
Yes. Oh my gosh, the falling. That has been like a huge theme in my life ever since I was a child. I'd be in a dream and it wouldn't even matter what was going on in the dream. It would switch to sort of this dark space. From above, there would be a ladder descending down with like a light shining down on it. It was usually like a really basic wooden old ladder. And then I would reach out to climb it and I would grab onto it and step up with my foot. As soon as I put all my weight on my foot, it would slip. The shock of that jolt is what would wake me up. But occasionally I would fall and land in another dream. A common question was about falling / flying, and the falling, that happened a lot.
That's really neat.
That was definitely a pattern for me too. Not so much flying, but just falling on my face from really, really high distances off cliffs and off skyscrapers and things like that. Whenever I would be about to impact the ground, I would never switch to anything else. I would always wake up. So that was a little bit different for me.
I actually have a really similar story. When I was about 11 or 12, my friend and I played this game where we would stand on the ledge at the end of my parents' bed and push each other backwards with our arms crossed over our chests. There was this particular time she pushed me and I fell through the bed and into the city, and I woke up before I hit the ground. When I came to, we were back in the room. So I've had strange things happening to me from early childhood continuing into my life now.
Whoa.
Ooh. When I was a kid, and I didn't realize what it was until now, I would have this consistent, what I thought was a nightmare every single night of me watching myself jump through like a mucky tar pit.
Oh, I remember the story.
But I was watching myself like a 2D side scroller platforming video game.
That sounds like astral projection to me.
Yeah, so it would just be black, mucky pits, and I would just be jumping from ledge to ledge, and there was nothing else to do but jump and not land in the lava part of the tar.
Oh my gosh, you guys, think about how many people have had experiences like this and they just chalk it up as being something weird and forget about it, and they don't realize that they've been astral projecting this whole time.
Right. And there's so many things within our minds that we can unlock, and a lot of people might think that it's an evil thing to have, but we can't control our dreams. And if you're not even looking for these things, then it just happens to you. You might be pretty special.
Yeah.
Like our friend that we interviewed.
Yes. Well, you interviewed, and it was an amazing interview, by the way. Shout out to Anonymous.
Thanks. Not the V for Vendetta mask, Anonymous.
Yes, not that kind of Anonymous. This brings me to the question that Dawn actually brought to my attention. What is the critical age for beginning on this type of journey with astral projection, and why is that so important?
Pretty much any time between 4 or 5 to about 15 or 16 is like your critical window for gathering these skills. And I think that some people accidentally gathered these skills and others did them intentionally, like our friend from the interview who was meditating at a young age and then unlocked these things within himself. But then I was reading a study by some scientists, which it's a really complicated study where they did brain imaging on people that willingly do out-of-body experiences. And I will include the link to that study in the blog that I write about this show. So stay tuned to our WordPress. You'll see it there and you can read through the results for yourself. One of the main participants was a 24-year-old who discovered as a very small child when she was in preschool during nap time, she would get bored. She didn't want to take a nap. And so she was doing this thing where she would float up out of her body, and on this astral plane, she would rotate around or whatever she felt like doing. But it wasn't until she was in college that she realized that not everyone could do that.
Wow.
And that along with somebody I know in my family who is a minor, she actually started having very lucid dreams about 3 years ago. She's 15 now. In our interview with our anonymous guest, we talked about the difference between lucid dreaming and astral projection. And as far as I can tell, there really isn't any. Apart from when you start to do these things willingly with a lot more intention than before. So she has gotten to a point where she's doing these things with intention, and it happens multiple times a week. So This leads me to believe that young children who are very connected to the source that flows within all of us, they have an easy time with this kind of thing. And then in your teenage years, you go through another large shift where you're very open to cosmic energies and your own astral body and how those tie together with your physical body. Learning to control that lends itself well to being able to do this.
Very good insight. Here's a question that I don't want to offend anybody listening. Do you think that this is something that is not okay to be trying to do with Christian culture?
I would say probably not. It depends on your intent. If you're trying to explore the inner workings of yourself, the anonymous guy was saying he would see benevolent figures, and that was a huge hindrance towards his experience. One of his perceptions was that it was something within himself he had to get over, and that his self-conscious was kind of presenting to him to overcome. I feel like Christianity and this are not synonymous, personally.
A lot of people think that we only use 10 to 11% of our brain, and I think that's an average thing. The rest of our brain, which is God-given to any Christians out there, where do you think that's going? I mean, we can unlock these parts of our brain that are probably meant to be unlocked, and that's just my personal theory. Dawn, what do you think?
I think that if you believe in God and you believe that God created the world that we live in, then this is another part of the world to explore. And I don't think that God would make a world like this and put us here and give us these abilities and not expect us to use them to explore what we can do. You know, it's like you were saying, Rob, to some degree, it depends on what you do with it. And everything that we do is essentially a test. And you do believe in Christianity, then you're always choosing between good and evil. Why not explore these other realms and continue that test and see what good can come of it?
When you hear the term astral projection, what is that to you in your own definition, Rob?
It's an out-of-body traveling experience. It generally takes people committed practice and repetition, just like anything else, like riding a bike. It's usually described as looking down on your own body. I found through research that people's stories and their advice and all of their practicing techniques vary widely, but most people agree that things like meditation, deep relaxation is the first step to achieving this. When you start to go in the right direction, you get full body vibrations and proceed to leave your body.
That was one of the questions that was in the test that we all took that kind of hit me hard. Dawn, I don't know how you answered this, and I'm really curious to know if you feel this too. I feel like electricity is shooting through my body right now. It happens really often in my waking state and when I first wake up. One of the questions they asked was, do you feel an electricity from the top of your head to your feet? I feel it all the time, and I was being as honest as I could in this test. Have you ever experienced that, Dawn?
I didn't experience that one, but there was another one that was very similar. If you ever have a convulsive feeling or vibrating feeling in your body. And I'll tell you, back when I used to get stoned off marijuana, I would just sit and close my eyes and it would feel like my whole body was spinning. Like inside me, there was this tornado that was spinning.
Wow.
And it would feel like I was about to lift off. At first, it was kind of scary, so I would snap myself out of it. It would almost feel like I could have easily just floated out of my body, though I never did, and I wonder now.
Do you feel that in waking moments in life and before, during, or after sleep?
I feel it when I'm doing energy healing sessions sometimes.
If you didn't know, Dawn does do healing sessions, and she's fantastic.
When I go into a trance, I feel it then, and I think that has to do with me separating myself out and connecting to another person's energy. So in some way, that must be a form of astral projection.
I think it's definitely connected. I understand that you have a really intuitive friend that you got some input from. I'm really curious to see what input that was.
I asked her what she thought astral projection was because she actually taught me a lot about energy healing. She's probably the most powerful person I know in this whole regard. So I'll just read to you what she said. The way I understand astral travel is that you access a state where you become a conduit for energy and consciousness itself, and your imagination and cosmic senses are the navigator system. The less limited you are, the more planes, energies, consciousnesses, and dimensions you can access. Yeah. A lot of which is dependent on the kinds of frequencies you're able to hold and how much of your full self you're truly aware and in control of.
That's really interesting to me. I feel like we are forced in the world we live in to grow up too quickly, to lose our imaginations, become the guy in the cubicle or the woman in the cubicle so fast, and just to do all of these very worldly things where we are broken away from our own beings. That's probably why some of us here may be more in tune with being able to experience lucid dreams. Rob?
As always, this ties into neuroplasticity.
Plasticity.
Just kidding. There's a T there. And what we were talking about in our Google patent episode with these frequencies that we are being attacked with, I feel like this is another way to take us away from another facet that we were meant to explore in ourselves, which is astral projection.
That other 90% of the brain that we allegedly do not use, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
The given gifts that we have and these abilities that most of us have. Even if you look at the astral test that we took, to some degree, everyone has a little bit of these percentages. To some extent, you can do these things. And I actually mentioned this in my interview on the Diametric Convergence podcast when we were talking about channeling non-physical entities that connect with people who are deeply in tune and easily fall into a trance. Some people want to say like, oh, the pyramids were built by the aliens because there's no possible way they could have done that. Some of these things where we are like, how did humans possibly do this without the technology that we have? My belief is that these people were in a trance at some point and may have on the astral plane communed with their ancestors who gave them this knowledge. Why would God make a world in which you can do this and not be cool with us doing that?
That brings me back to, I think it was called Spirit Science, this YouTube channel.
Yes.
That would just elaborately explain everything. They were saying that the only way that they could have built these pyramids was to astrally project and basically implant them onto the earth. The seven wonders of the world, they're all really high energy places which create this grid around.
It's called a ley line.
Around the globe, yeah, and they're all connected somehow. It was all set up this way for the energy of the world to be balanced. None of these anomalies could have possibly been built, especially right. The pyramids by humanity.
So we have the Mayan temples. Is that what I would call them?
I think that's one of them. If I remember correctly, a few of the others are the Great Wall of China, the Taj Mahal, and the Colosseum in Rome. I can't remember the other ones right now.
It's okay. I can't either right now for some reason. But that reminded me of something really crazy. There are actually these magnetic quote-unquote anomalies across the entire world with strong magnetic fields that connect places like what you described, Rob, the Great Pyramids and Stonehenge. And I could go on and on about this, so you might just want to Google ley lines if you're interested in this.
So it's perfectly designed in a geometric way.
Okay, theory. What if aliens are our actual ancestors and or channeled this information to humans over the span of millennia and made them build these things so that they had a navigation system?
That would explain my large forehead.
Yeah, and then as always...
He agreed. He said, yes, she does have a large forehead.
With this theory that you're talking about, there's good and bad involved with that. You know,
that's how it is. Brings me to this question. Do you guys think something that is within all of us essentially could possibly be used for nefarious purposes by others?
Absolutely. Let's talk about the CIA files, shall we?
Tie it in.
Prepare to have your psyche completely blown after this short break.
Thank you.
Let's go, Stargate, sister.
So Stargate is this fascinating CIA library of declassified files that go back to like the 60s, I want to say. There's everything in there from astral projection to precognition, lucid dreams, psychic abilities. Essentially, like if you ever wanted to write a sci-fi novel, all you have to do is open the Stargate library, scroll with your eyes closed, and just hit something random, and there you have it. In this particular one, this declassified recently, Tina, when did you say it was originally published? It's like 75 or something?
No, it was 1974, I think, but don't quote me on that. So let's talk about the astral projection part of this. This subject was able to locate in an undisclosed location while they were testing him. He was able to say what the helicopter looked like, what mountains the helicopter was located in, and what was around it. Even if the dimensions were a little bit off, he was able to see all of that by astral projecting.
There was another situation, too, in those files where someone was able to find an underground hidden bunker in an undisclosed location, go inside a locked room, open a file cabinet, and see inside these files and name names that were highly classified. The Americans did this with the Russians.
Soviet.
Definitely nefarious activities. We're talking about one country spying on another country, going inside their locked rooms and going through their secret files. I don't think it can get any more nefarious than that.
Well, if we all know people can do these things, what is up with war?
I think all of these things are a continual study that go from the Cold War, the Vietnam War, and World War II. They want to use it for war. That's so predictable of them. But just like your interview guy was saying,
Anonymous,
he brought up a great point. If you're not in tune with yourself, you don't have this intent and you're kind of blocked off like these psychopaths that we're talking about that don't really have good energy and spirituality. I feel like it would have been tough for them and there would have been many dementia-like blockades to access that realm, and there would be a lot of evil that they would see in their astral plane that might prevent them from doing a lot of the things they wanted to do. But at the same time, if you've ever seen Stranger Things, they would actually breed vulnerable people.
11.
Yeah, 11. The little girl with the buzz cut from the show.
She's my spirit animal.
Yeah.
Mine too.
In the 50s, the CIA did MK Ultra, and they would experiment on hospital patients and vulnerable people like children, like I said, without consent. They would use brainwash and torture techniques through methods.
Including LSD.
LSD is one of them. That's the main drug that they would use to dose them up.
That sounds terrifying.
It ruined lives.
The point was to break them down and destroy who they are, their personality, and their memories.
Wipe that out and keep their subconscious.
Reduce
that out.
Reduce them to a blank slate and then build up whatever they wanted to. And they would implant memories in them, isolate them. They would do sensory deprivation. Yeah. Audio loops and sounds of certain frequencies. Like you said, Dawn, your friend can access the astral plane through these frequencies, and they will manipulate these people in order to get them there. And Stranger Things exemplifies that with 11. They would actually use these test subjects, erase their memories, and have them do these things for them because they couldn't do it themselves.
Or brainwash them, like repeatedly showing them the Coca-Cola logo over and over and over again on a loop, or hearing the same song, to where some of these people that dealt with MKUltra, you might notice this in movies in the future. There's actually one I can't remember the name of where I used the Coca-Cola reference because it's from that movie. So it's this kid and he's in a yellow room. He's been taken hostage and he is being shown Coca-Cola over and over again. It's really crazy and it changes the way your mind thinks. And so many lives were destroyed. These people would come out of hospitals. They didn't even know who their families were anymore. They just would repeat certain words like rainbow, rainbow, rainbow.
Another name for it was the Monarch Program, and then there's Project Paperclip, but the actual technique is called MKUltra.
It's declassified. To talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thanks, babe. Also, a lot of movies, of course. The Manchurian Candidate. In the movie, Denzel Washington plays the role of president. A Manchurian candidate is a person that is just a puppet, and they brainwash you with these techniques, and they implant you with chips, control you through all this mind control. They wipe you out. Somebody pulling the strings on them a little bit. The last thing that I wanted to reference with this CIA program, and I don't know if you guys have read it, but The Catcher in the Rye.
I love that book.
I've never read it. Apparently, there's a theory that the book has codes implanted into it.
What?
By the CIA that mind controls you. There's been leaked documents that confirm that if patients hear a certain set of numbers or words in a certain order, they'd be hypnotized and follow every command that they receive. To get to the crazy part, and this is just a theory, the craziest thing I've read about this book is that it's apparently been in the possession of some of the most infamous murders and assassination attempts of high-profile American figures.
Really?
Yeah.
Like who?
The guy who killed John Lennon, Mark David Chapman.
Well, then he deserved to go.
It may not have been his fault, though, and that's what I'm going to get into here. I'll try to make it brief. Mark David Chapman, who killed John Lennon of the Beatles, he emptied his entire .38 caliber pistol into his back. He dropped the gun and then started to read The Catcher in the Rye on the site.
That's really weird.
Yeah, and a police officer that was on the scene asked him, because he seemed dissociated, "Do you know what you just did?" And he said, "I just shot John Lennon." And he replied with extreme calmness.
So he was a Manchurian candidate.
Yes, he actually was, because the political agenda behind this was that John Lennon was threatening to expose sketchy secret agendas about the war on terror.
Hmm.
After he replied to the officer, he sat right back down and continued reading The Catcher and the Rye.
Wow. My mind just got completely blown.
What's really eerily interesting, the main character, who is a troubled child, perceiving adults in general and idols as phonies. And the shooter was said to have been a mentally ill, psychotic, and deranged fan of John Lennon, obsessed with killing him. But he was actually his hero.
That's so sad.
A quote directly from Mark Chapman, the killer, which was told by an author that interviewed him about the murder. He said, in quotes, "He walked past me, and then I heard in my head, 'Do it, do it, do it,' over and over again." And then later in the interview, he said, "I don't remember aiming. I must have done it, but I don't remember drawing. And I just pulled the trigger steady 5 times.
So you definitely don't agree that this was a mental illness?
I think that the mental illness could be misperceived as being a brainwashed patient, which leads me to the last part of the interview. The author said he felt no emotion as he squeezed the trigger, no anger, just dead silence in the brain. And the author described Chapman as a program victim in his book, in his brief experience with him in this interview.
Wow. I've definitely never heard of this theory, so that was really interesting.
I haven't either until the other day. A friend of mine shared this bit with me and told me to look it up, and that's what I found. There's many other incidences that have been claimed like this, but I'm not going to get into that. Most of the documentation for MKUltra was destroyed, so we may never know the full extent of it. But from what they have declassified, it does seem very malicious and very torturous. It has been forced into the public eye within the past couple decades because it's so shocking.
I think they don't care anymore, whoever's doing that. But let's bring it back just a tiny bit here. There have been a lot of neurological studies with volunteers or subjects that are interested in astral projection that actually self-volunteer to take this experience and become an astral projector. Dawn, what do you know about that?
I didn't go through the whole study that I found because it was very complicated, very scientific, but they did brain imaging. It's weird how they set up these experiments. Essentially, they have this person who says, "Yeah, I can do this." And then they do things with them like they'll say, "Okay, let us know when you're having this experience." So this one participant, this 24-year-old woman, she could have this out-of-body experience at will in a waking state. So she could let them know by like tapping her fingers that it was starting. They would have her do things like visualize herself doing jumping jacks or actually do the jumping jacks. And then they would scan her brain to see what was going on. There were other things too, like having her rotate or spin her body. They would measure the difference between her visualizing herself doing the jumping jacks and visualizing somebody else doing the jumping jacks. And it was just really fascinating to see all these brain scans side by side and which areas of the brain light up. And apparently it's mostly left brain stuff. So we talked about with imagination before, if you have a really strong imagination that you've cultivated through childhood, you're more adept at doing these kind of things.
Yay.
Yeah, I can definitely see how the female brain would easily tap into this more so than the male brain. The one technique that I found, I thought was pretty simple. It's called the rope technique, and it's where you visualize a rope anchored to your belly. You reach for it and visualize yourself climbing hand over hand out of yourself. And if it's done properly and with the right amount of spiritual focus and the intent that you need to get outside of yourself, then you should be able to escape your body and look down on yourself.
Oh my God, I'm totally going to try that. That sounds so cool.
I haven't tried it yet. I don't know if I'm ready.
I just wanted to say something about the jumping jacks thing. I wonder if I was able to do that like she did, if I would lose weight or if I would stay the same in my physical body.
Spiritual calories don't count.
I feel like all of us are pretty open with our imaginations enough to where things happen that are almost indescribable and you can't put into words sometimes. And when you see stuff like this on the CIA's site or whenever it hits the news, like, oh, well, magically UFOs are okay to talk about today on the news. There's so much stuff that's been declassified recently. And I had a really good time going through all of the Stargate archives, just looking at the types of studies they've done and wondering why are they doing these studies if there's not a real reason for them. So this stuff is definitely true. Whether or not you completely believe that the CIA is always honest, it doesn't really matter. They're doing these studies for a reason.
Not only that, but they are studying things that people have been doing for thousands of years. And if you look at ancient cultures, they've all dabbled in this. Like our anonymous guest was saying about the Japanese, was it the samurai or the ninja?
The ninjas. It was ninjas. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that they were trained in this. He was talking about this exercise where you focus on holding a ball. I've done that, but I did it in a different way. I did it in a way where my cousin taught me to sit in a chair, very still. You close your eyes and you focus on your breathing. You take your hands and you hold them about shoulder width apart in front of you. Slowly move them together until you start to feel a bit of resistance. And when you feel this resistance, it's like a magnet. They kind of push away. It feels just like that. That's your chi. That is your energy field. The more you mess with it, the stronger you get at it and the more you can do with it. And you can use that energy. You can send it out. You can move it around. You can kind of play with it in front of you. People do all kinds of things with it. Anyone can harness this. Anyone can sit and practice this. It's a really cool and fun thing to do. And it's part of your body. Like, God is totally okay with you exploring your body.
Do you remember as children?
Sounded wrong.
Yeah, it did sound wrong, but it's okay. Do you guys remember as kids, did you ever do that where you put your hands, you cross your fingers and make a big circle in front of you, and then you'd have a friend stick their hands in the circle that you've made and push their arms as hard as they can while your fingers are interlaced into this basket that you've made with your hands for 20 seconds, and then you let go of your fingers and being interlaced, and then your friend would slowly lift their arms up and it feels like you're flying. You could still do it right now. Doing stuff like that as a child, where did we even learn these things? There's another one where you can feel some kind of resistance within your palms when you push them together really hard and let them go in mm-hmm. a really slow way. And you mm-hmm. feel like there's something between your palms. Mm. There's a physical solid object there.
We were able to do these things as kids because our imaginations were boundless and we weren't tainted by the world yet.
I feel like my imagination is still boundless.
It definitely is.
So we have to make some kind of pact that we make sure our kids don't fall into this cubicle drone manifestation that whoever is in control of us, this overlord, wants us to be, to slave away and make their money for them. We have to make sure that our kids remain within this boundless imagination that allows them to be like, nah, I'm going to explore a different dimension today.
Bye, Mom. I'm going to Jupiter.
They're going to have a huge head start with that because
they already have imaginative parents.
Certainly our parents did not even come close to knowing much of anything spiritual, for me anyways.
When I was a kid, even really small, my mom would tell me about out-of-body experiences that she would have in the early morning. And to this day, like, if she wakes up briefly and falls back asleep, she usually either has super vivid dreams or horrible nightmares.
That's me too.
I want to send this astral test to her and see what her results are, because I'm curious if she ever had some of these other, like, lucid dream experiences.
Yeah.
Going back to Stranger Things, to tie that into astral projection, the main character, Eleven, used a water tank, or rather the scientist would put her in a water tank.
Sensory deprivation.
Yeah. Water tanks can project your consciousness, and in this case, they were trying to make her travel to what was called the Upside Down, which was an evil portal that they had accidentally unlocked and were trying to contain what was inside. So they would send her there because she could, what is it, telekinesis? She could just blast things with her mind. She would scream and everything would fly in the air and be destroyed.
Like when I get angry and things turn off or break.
Yeah, so they would send her into the Upside Down through astral projection, through this water tank, to try to get her to get this evil under control or try to understand this evil more because they couldn't do it themselves. That ties in with the whole MK Ultra thing. They use that on her to breed her into that. On a lighter note, that practice is actually pretty common, using the water tank in real life. There's a geometric building in a place called the Canary Wharf in London.
Canary Wharf?
Canary, I don't know.
Canary? That's funny.
It doesn't matter. But there's a flotation center owned by a woman named Katerina Shabalina. It rhymes. She started a business after noticing that floating in a pool or in a vat of water improved her severe back pain tremendously.
A lot of people do this. It's very common now.
It's common knowledge. The other positive effects of this are stress reduction, mindfulness, improved concentration, muscle relaxation, and better sleep. Each flotation tank includes a half a ton of salt.
Himalayan salts.
Probably, yeah. I'm not sure.
It is.
But these are little tiny eggs that is just big enough for an adult.
A lot of people freak out in them,
like a little kiddie pool. They would close you into this little egg-shaped pod. This particular flotation center, they have a higher concentration of salt than the Dead Sea. Insane.
You float in it.
And after each client is done with their experience there, the water is churned through a rigorous filtration system. So that is a crazy imaginative way to make a business this way. And the owner did say that some clients do come there to astral project, improve their imagination, or see hallucinations. She actually personally attested to seeing herself from above on one occasion when she was in there.
So she had an OBE.
What Rob is talking about, these sensory deprivation chambers, there's one here nearby. If anyone is curious, on Groupon, you can find them, and it's about $60 for an hour.
Dawn, I'd love to hear your final thoughts on astral projection.
I think that this is something that I'm going to look further into for myself because I am predisposed to these things. So there's really no reason that I couldn't get stronger in this with practice. You know, it seems like I'm already doing some of these things in my energy healing sessions. without realizing that I'm actually astral projecting. So if I can be consciously aware, if we can be consciously aware that we can and do these things, we can get stronger and then we can be more limitless. The powers that be want to trap you and make you dull so that you don't try these things, and you should try them. You should push back against that and know yourself and know that anything is possible, literally anything you want.
Right. And these are the opinions of us here at the Psychedelic Podcast. Apparently we agree on most things when it's Don, Rob, and Tina, but we're not shoving anything down anybody's throats.
Not whatsoever.
You can unlock any part of your brain. You can look this up and look at it yourself and do your own research and not just listen to what we're saying and make your own observations based on that. And Don, I'd love to see you write a blog, almost like a dream log of you and your astral projection adventures.
I would totally do that. And I do want to let our listeners know there will be a blog on this shortly after this episode is released. So be looking for that on our WordPress. There will be links in that to both the Stargate library that the CIA has on its website, as well as the study that I discussed. We're going to include all those links in our blog. So check that out.
I just wanted to let you all know that Dawn and I did do an amazing live stream on Wednesday, I believe. So you can look at my Facebook or our podcast Facebook, the Psychedelic Podcast, and find it there. Check it out. We did some readings and some dream interpretation, and it all ties into this.
Absolutely. Definitely check it out if you haven't already. It's pretty incredible. I'll definitely say that I've learned a lot through this. It connects a lot of dots. When you actually study it and you're conscious of the ways that it does affect you, and all of us, I believe, have had these experiences at one time, you can really go back and correlate a lot of things. The next time that it's happening to me naturally, I will be aware of it and I might take a shot at it and see where it goes.
Oh, mark my words. You're going to have a dream you remember tomorrow.
I'll probably dream.
No, I felt it.
You're going to have a Tina dream.
Maybe. I feel like this conversation just did that and will make that happen.
I hope so.
Well, it was a wonderful conversation, you guys, as always. We'll be doing discussions twice a week from now on, Wednesdays and Sundays. Sometimes not on Wednesdays, but always on Sundays, there will be a panel discussion. So please make sure that you subscribe to us. All of our links are in our link tree, which is linktr.ee/thepsychedelicpodcast. There's no hyphen there. If you want to, you can donate to our Patreon. It's in the link tree as well as all of our social media. So follow us wherever you want and make sure you stay in touch. Don, love you. Rob, you're sitting right next to me. Thank you guys for your time.
Love you.
Thank you both.